You're listening to Lace Up with your host VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, man, I know it's been a while since we have last been on the air, man, but want to say excited to be back on, excited to talk some more sports, man. And look, y'all, January and February is flown by, man. I don't know if it's just me, but January and February is really, really flown by. And look, March is here. We got daylight savings. It's right around the corner on the 10th. I believe it's when we're officially going to be able to spring forward. So we'll be able to set the clocks will move forward. So I'm excited about that, man. And just excited to get some more consistent weather, because it's been a little up and down. I should say it's been, you know, some good weather. Some days it's sunny and you know, low 70s, like high 60s, low 70s. And then you turn around on a day like today where it's like 40s and raining, you know. So Lord knows we need the consistency. And I can't wait till the sun comes out and stays out. So yeah, man, I hope everybody has been enjoying, you know, their day, enjoying their week. I hope that this has been a good start of the year. I think I said that last time, but I always gonna say that. I hope everybody's year is starting off on a good note. Got a lot of good things to talk about today. I didn't get a chance to really talk about the Super Bowl, but I know we had the Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back Super Bowl champions, man. What a great game that we got an opportunity to watch against the 49ers. It was a rematch from when Mahomes got his first ring. But man, a game to go into overtime like that, it was exciting to watch. I did pick the 49ers to win the game. If y'all remember from when we were on previously, but obviously that didn't happen. However, I do think that, the 49ers really, really messed their chances up, because they did have control of that game later in the game. And they just, they threw that away. Like classic Kyle Shanahan moment. So, you know how that is, man. He has blown a lead in the Super Bowl now three times. So yeah, that's crazy, right? So hey, it is what it is. I don't know, man. A lot of people are questioning about that. Like, could Shanahan, you know, get them over the hump? Could he finally win the Super Bowl? And I just don't know, man. I don't believe he can. You know, he can get you there, but when it comes to sealing a deal and getting it done, I just don't see it. And that's, his history has shown that when he gets up in a game and in the Super Bowl, he just loses it. all football knowledge goes out the window. So yeah, I don't know, man. But hey, look, it was a great game nonetheless, and just excited to get football back, man. It's just, I know that's crazy to say, because the season just ended, man, but you know, I love football. And I'll be tuning into the XFL just until we get the college and the NFL back. But that was my little rant that I went on, man. But let's get into what I wanted to talk about today, man. Let's talk about the NFL, man, because we know the combine is going on right now. Kicked off this week, and just to recap on the position groups by the day. So Thursday's when it kicked off, you had the defensive linemen and the linebackers. Friday, you got defensive backs, tight ends. Then you have running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers on Saturday, and then you have the offensive linemen on Sunday, and that'll round up all the drills and everything for the position groups. But the thing that's been the hot topic around the NFL and in the combine for the past month or so is Chicago. My Chicago Bears, man, what are they going to do with the number one pick? And a lot of people are assuming right now that Chicago will stay put and draft Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC, with the number one overall pick, and that they will trade Justin Fields to either, I'm hearing Atlanta being as the front runner for that right now, since he is from Georgia. They're looking to, you know, piece him up there. And everybody's saying that that's the perfect fit. And then you got Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin. That's what a lot of people are saying, too. Those are the two teams that everybody keeps bringing up, is the Falcons and the Steelers, right? So, biggest question here, after, and honestly, y'all, like, I'm really, I love the Bears. And it's like, I have never heard us being talked about more than I have now. Like, it's crazy, man, all the back and forth. You got the fan base is you got half of them for Caleb Williams, half of them for Justin. It's a lot that's going on right now, man. It's exhausting with all of the rumors and the stuff that's been coming out. Like, everybody claims that they have a source that's telling them something, but nobody's right. I think it's a bunch of smoke screens. Nobody has talked to Ryan Poles. Nobody has been close to the Bears organization to know what's going to happen. But, you know, I feel like people are putting out a lot of false reports. They're putting out a lot of assumptions, but nobody knows what's really going to happen, right? And then everybody who's putting stuff out, whenever what happens happens, they're going to be like, see, I told you I had my sources. But really, it's all a guess at this point in time. Like, nobody knows, you know? So what do I feel like the Bears should do with the number one overall pick? And mind you, this is the second year in a row with the number one overall pick. And we saw last year, Ryan Poles decided to trade the number one pick to the Carolina Panthers and was able to get a bunch of picks in return alongside, and in addition to DJ Moore, wide receiver, which he, you know, has been great in Chicago. I think that the Bears should trade the pick again. I think you trade down from number one, you trade no lower than number three, and you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, whichever one. I personally would like Marvin Harrison Jr., but I do think Malik Nabers is just as good. It could be better. You draft one of those guys, you get a haul of picks, and you set yourself up for the future. And let's not forget, you got the number nine pick as well. So if you want to stay at nine, you could take the best player available at that point. You could take a Brock Bowers. You could take Dallas Turner. You could take whoever you want. I mean, I would love a Dallas Turner if and that's assuming that the Bears don't address like edge in free agency, which I do think that they're gonna go after I think they're going to go after to address the edge position, I should say, excuse me, in free agency. But let's just say that it doesn't pan out like that, right? You got Dallas Turner out of Alabama there. And, you know, I would love that because, you know, I'm a Bama guy. That's my school. Went to Alabama, Roll Tide. So, yeah, Dallas Turner alongside Montez Sweat on the other end, man, that would be nasty, you know? So I would love that. So it's so many things you could do. If you wanted to trade back from the number nine pick and get even more picks, you could do that, right? I just don't see the sense in taking Caleb Williams, and this is not anything to take away from Caleb Williams, right? I think that Caleb Williams he's a really, really good quarterback. He has the intangibles. He can make the off-schedule throws. He has some pocket presence. His release is quick. You know, he is he's clearly going to be the number one overall pick. But I just don't think it makes sense to put him. You draft him and then you're just bringing him into the same situation that Justin Fields was in. Right now, mind you, I think that defensively we're in a better position right now. because the defense was balling out the second half of the season. And I do think that, you know, DJ Moore being there is good. So if they happen to go that route with Caleb Williams, he would be coming in with DJ Moore already there. You got Cole Kmet, and then you also would draft a wide receiver. A lot of people are saying Rome Odunze, but I would like, if they stayed put and took Caleb Williams, I would like Malik Nabers. And you got Nabers with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and if you want to even go after another receiver, whatever, you could do that, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of receivers that you could go after in a draft. I just don't think it makes sense to put, you know, set ourselves back. And people are bringing up the whole money thing, like, oh, you know, you have to pay Justin Fields and da da da. I'm like, okay, that, so what? So what? Justin Fields has done more with less. He's done so much. I'm not saying he's done more or less. I'd say he's done so many great things as a quarterback without the talent around him. I mean, the guy has his cleats in the Hall of Fame for rushing. I know people want to call him a running back and everything, but Justin Fields is a really, really good quarterback. And you surround him with some help and some pieces, then he will really take off. And I think it's unfair to say that, you know, oh, we've seen 3 years of Justin Fields, and he hasn't been doing that well, and they put his record up there. He hadn't had anybody to work with, y'all. Like, let's be real about it. We're not about to sit up here and ignore the fact that he's had two or three offensive coordinators each time that he was starting. He has not had any consistency at the wide receiver position. The offensive coordinator that we've had, he was not competent enough to even put together sustaining drives. And then when he finally would call some stuff that was working, and then he would just, and it was like, well, where was this all season, you know? But I don't think that it's fair to judge Justin the way, as harshly as some people have been judging him, because his situation is different. You talk about, oh, look at C.J. Stroud. Look at C.J. Stroud's situation. He had some pieces around him. They have a defense. You know, you have to have that supporting cast. You can't just go out there and do it by yourself. I don't care what anybody says. It doesn't work like that. You know, we need people that can get open. You need somebody that has offensive coordinating experience, which I do think that Shane Waldron coming over from Seattle, who made Geno Smith an MVP candidate when people wrote Geno Smith off. You know, there's promise there. There's a lot of promise. So I personally love Justin Fields. I think you stick with him and you build around him and you get a haul of picks to set yourself up for years to come. I mean, imagine how many picks you can have over the next couple of years. And look, say it doesn't work out with Justin Fields, you will have had a better situation for a new quarterback coming in than we've ever had, right? You would have the pieces there. You would have the picks to continue to build that supporting cast. And then you can plug a quarterback right in with that. And I know people that say, oh, Caleb Williams is generational. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. Stop saying that. Everybody needs to pump the brakes and stop saying that. Nobody knows what's going to happen when he gets to the NFL, okay? Nobody knows that. We're looking at a guy who was doing this against Pac-12 defenses, right? And when he actually played against defenses that were some of the top ranked defenses, he struggled. Go pull up tape against Notre Dame when he almost, you know, he was struggled against Utah. Like, come on now. Like, we're talking about against Pac-12 defenses. And I'm not trying to trash Caleb Williams. I'm just saying that we have to put things into perspective. People are acting like he was in the SEC just torching every defense up. Like Jaden Daniels was in the SEC balling out. Those are legit defenses, right? You know, they don't play defense in the Pac-12. So, of course, he's going to light it up. But, again, he has the tools and he has the intangibles of a quarterback. And then he has that confidence about himself, right? He's cocky and he's confident, right? So, you do like that swagger that he has about himself and the confidence that he has. And I was listening to his press conference at the combine, and you know, he you could tell that there's a lot of a belief in trust in himself. And, you know, a lot of people are making a big deal about the whole medical records thing and him not providing that to all 32 teams. But I'm not making a big deal out of that. I think that he provided his medical records to the teams that he said that feels that he knows that are pursuing him. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I mean, me personally, like I said, like I, whatever Ryan Poles decides to do, I trust him. But I personally would love, I want to keep Justin Fields in Chicago because I just know that if we give him a legit wide receiver core, he's going to take off. I mean, the running game is already there. We have a solid running game. And you build up that offensive line as well. Get him some receivers. Get him, I'm telling you, get him two more receivers. Build up that offensive line. And watch what happens. I'm telling you, watch what happens. That's that. And knowing, looking at in the history of Ryan Poles, who even said when he first got the job as a general manager, and I'll move on after this, he said that we're going to build this team up through the draft. Go back and look at when he first was hired into Chicago. We're going to build this team up through the draft. And the only way that you're going to do that is continue to get the hall of picks to continue to have multiple draft picks in the first and second round for the next 2 to 3 years. That's how you build your team up. And he knows that. He's really at the combine to see who's going to be willing to spend the most money. I mean, who's going to be willing to give up the most to get Caleb Williams? And I think that's realistically why he's down now, other than, you know, being down there to evaluate the other position groups. But when it comes to the pick, and you know his phone has been blowing up, but when it comes to that pick, he's there to who's going to be willing to give up those number of picks and plus a player, because he's looking for a similar return from what we had last year. So that's just my take on it. But yeah, keep Justin Fields in Chicago, Ryan, and let's go. Next up, man, let's continue to talk about, I wanted to talk about Caleb Williams and Jayden Daniels, as well. And then I guess just quarterbacks as a whole, because Williams and Daniels are both not throwing. They've both opted out from throwing at the NFL combine, and will instead, you know, throw it at pro days, right? And I don't know if Caleb Williams necessarily said he's going to throw. Yeah, I think he might. He said he's going to be throwing at a pro day as well. But he said that he didn't feel the need to throw at the combine because you could just turn on the tape and look at him, his live game action, and, you know, so on and so forth, whatever. I wanted to, you know, kind of address this because a lot of people are making a big deal out of, you know, quarterbacks not throwing at the combine, right? I personally don't think it's that big of a deal if a quarterback doesn't throw at the combine, because majority of the time they go to their pro days anyway with their guys, and they have, you know, general managers and everybody come visit. General managers, head coaches, they come visit them at their pro day, watch them throw, you know, so on and so forth. A lot of quarterbacks have done it in the past. I just think that it's blown out of proportion. And I don't see any harm in not throwing at the combine. I personally don't really pay attention to the combine like that. Like I used to. I used to watch the combine, but over time it's like, all right, this is I want to say it's pointless. I don't want to say that because there are a lot of players that draft stock rises, you know, from their performance at the combine. But I think with certain guys, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal that the number one and arguably number one and two picks in the NFL draft are not throwing at the combine. So I think everybody should just calm down when it comes to that. It's not the end of the world. Oh my God, they think they're better. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's not, it shouldn't be an issue. We really shouldn't even be spending time talking about that, honestly. So what, they're not throwing at the combine? Who cares? So what that somebody doesn't run the 40 at the combine? So what? They're just going to turn around and do it at the pro day. I guarantee you it's not an issue to these owners, GMs, head coaches. I guarantee you it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, I do, looking at Jaden Daniels, I saw something, you know, earlier about people saying that they wouldn't be surprised if he went number one overall. And, you know, you just never know. I mean, you look at Jaden Daniels, and a lot of people are looking at his size, and they're saying, you know, that's you want to be cautious about that. But they did the same thing with Bryce Young last year. Like, oh, he's, you know, looking at his size, they thought that C.J. Stroud would go ahead of him. But, you know, the Panthers still ended up taking Bryce, right? Because, you know, the talent, you see it. You see it on tape. My one biggest concern about Jaden Daniels is the fact that the hits that he took in the SEC. I don't think he's gonna have to build his muscle up. Because I think that him and Lamar Jackson actually came into the league the same weight. They're both he's 210 right now, and Lamar Jackson was 210 pounds coming in, and he's at, what, 225? So he's definitely going to build on that muscle. So I do think that he just has to be more cautious with protecting his body, because he did take some hits where I was like, dude, like, you got to chill out. But he is a fierce competitor, similar to Caleb Williams. But I think that Jaden Daniels, what he did last season to put himself as the front runner for the Heisman, you know, that was incredible to watch, you know. And, you know, I'm not, I can't stand LSU, but seeing what Jaden Daniels did, I mean, that was incredible to watch. It really was, you know. So, and I was down in Tuscaloosa when, you know, LSU came and played against Alabama. And I didn't go to the game, but we were out, you know, tailgating, watching the game. And we were all just, you know, you're just in shock and awe looking at some of the stuff that he does. It's like, man, like, this dude is incredible. So, you know, he could very well go number one overall. I mean, you never know, right? You just never know. So, yeah, these combines, these interviews, and these meetings that these coaches and GMs are having with these players, it's about, I think that we're looking at it from, you know, the stats, and we're looking at the highlights and all of that, right? But I do think that there's something that we don't talk about enough, is that they're looking for the perfect fit, like the person, you know, they're looking at the person, like, will you fit in this culture? Like, you know, and I think that that's a big thing when you're bringing in, you know, a quarterback who you're wanting to take over, you know, and be the leader for your team. Like, they're trying to look at the person and really get a feel on who you are, right? Because a lot of things are said about these guys, but, you know, who are they outside of, you know, who people have said they are? Like, you got to really get to know these people, these guys. So, you know, I think that a lot of times people are like, hey, you know, it makes perfect sense to take this player at this position, but they may be looking at it differently. Yeah, this guy he's really talented, and he has all these intangibles and all of that, but I also like this guy who has a lot of upside, and we just like the person. You know, we like his fit in our locker room, in our culture. So I think that's something that we should talk more about too, you know, when it comes to these players being, how we feel like, oh, this player should have been picked over them, and they should have been picked over them. You know, I think it's more about, like, who they feel is the best fit for the team, you know, outside of just looking at the stats, right? So, yeah, just a conversation to be had. Just, you know, curious to how y'all feel about that. So, hit me up, man, if you want to hear me expand on that more. Just let me know. But yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that out there, because we don't really talk about that enough, right? We don't really say, like, hey, what caused them to pick this player over this player, right? You know, we talk about it, but we, I guess, going a little bit more in depth with it, and you go back and you ask these guys, like, you know, what made you pick them, and they always go back to, okay, we had our interview. He was personable. He said these things. He He showed us, you know, the type of character that he has. Like, you know, that stuff, that is just like a regular interview for another job, you know, right? How are you going to stand out, right? What about you is making you stand out outside of what it says on your resume, right? You can have all the things on your resume. You can have all the accolades. You can have everything. And somebody who is less qualified than you can get that role. Because it's not always about everything that you have, right? How are you gonna stand out? So, you know, that's just something that I kind of was thinking about as I'm talking to y'all right now, actually. So, you know, I kind of just wanted to bring that up and see how other people thought about that too. So, but yeah, moving on, man. I wanted to also talk about what happened with Cam Newton at his 7-on-7 tournament that he does. He typically does this annually. I think it's once a year that he does it, maybe a couple times a year. Can't quite remember, but there was a situation that happened. We all know about it. It was a huge situation where these guys tried to jump Cam. He tried to jump him, and this guy ran up on him and snuck him with a punch. But Cam was handling these dudes, right? They forgot Cam is a tank. Like, Cam was handling these dudes. His hat didn't move. He had one dude wrapped in his arm, and he was and snatching the other dude around like he was a little toy doll. Like, first and foremost, like, I don't know what you thought you were going to accomplish going at Cam. Like, this dude has been fighting off linebackers and linemen and that are 300 pounds. Like, I don't know what you thought you were going to do with Cam, but I was very, very disappointed that, you know, people come at Cam the way that they do, right? A lot of people, especially at these camps, man, it gets really disrespectful. And it's disappointing because you got a guy like Cam who's seen success, right? He's won a championship in a JUCO. He's gone to Auburn. He won a championship at Auburn. He won a Heisman. He led the Carolina Panthers to a 15-1 record, right? A Super Bowl appearance. He was an MVP. Like, he's seen success, right? Fell short in the Super Bowl, but this is a guy who's seen success in multiple places that he's been. And he's wanting to give back to the community, right, here in Atlanta, you know, any other places that he goes. But, of course, it's going to start here in Atlanta. A guy that's putting money into these programs, trying to give people exposure that they may not have to get their name out there, right? And you go out here and you disrespect him the way that you disrespect him is just ridiculous to me. I hate to see stuff like that, right? And I do commend Cam because looking at that video, Cam really held back. He held back, and it's probably good that he held back, because like he said on his podcast, addressing the issue, he said, "Look, it could have got worse. Somebody could have got seriously injured. Things like that escalate into even more violence, right?" So seeing the way that he's handled this situation and even went as far as to take accountability for it happening. Took accountability, right? He didn't take a shot at the other two guys or other however many guys it was, but the other two that went on this podcast and tried to play the victim like they were innocent when the dude with the dreads was talking trash about Cam before that even happened. So they were plotting to do something. They were plotting to do that. And you go after him and you still lose. You go after Cam with a sucker punch and you still get handled. Like, come on, bro. Like, stop playing the victim, right? But Cam, on the other hand, the mature approach that he took when saying that, hey, look, I could have prevented that from happening. It didn't have to get that far. There's things that I could have done to prevent that from going the lengths that it went, right? And I think that that was big. That was big for him to come out and say, look, he's not trying to absolve himself or clear his name from any wrongdoing. He's not going to go out there and talk about those guys either. But he took the accountability. He said, look, that was wrong. I should not have let it get that far. And he also said that he's not going to say that he'll never do camps again because he does care. He does want to give back. And me personally, if I was Cam, man, I would take a break from doing the camps, man. I just don't know if it was me because y'all are disrespecting me, right? And people are not putting enough respect on his name. I mean, you talk about him even when he was going back to when he was saying the thing about game managers versus game changers, people had so much to say about that and was so pissed off. Like he was saying something so wrong. And then when it went as far as to take a shot at him as a person, like people try to use Cam as a punching bag and to throw darts at him, but I just don't think that's they get so upset at what he says, and instead of addressing what he says, like he said on his podcast, they come at him personally, and I don't think that's the approach you should take, right? Oh, Cam, you're a free agent. You're out the league. You're not playing anymore. Okay, cool. You know, we know that, right? We know that he's not playing. Like, it gets old after a while to sit there and watch, like, people say the same things over and over again. But at least him not being in the league, at least he's doing something to impact the community in a positive way. At least he's trying to shed light on things that he's experienced and talking to younger guys as they're coming in the league and trying to give them the advice and the motivation and the encouragement that they need to be successful at the next level. At least he's trying to get people's name out there that may have not had the best opportunity, right? May not have been recruited that high. If I'm a guy in high school, like these little kids are disrespectful. I'm like, dude, do you know who you're talking to right now, bro? Like, it's sad to see that. It's really sad. It really is. I mean, I don't know, man. And I'm not just saying it just because I went to high school with Cam. You know, I went to high school with Cam. Shout out to Westlake alum all day. And that just goes for anybody. Because you don't see Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and anybody else get disrespected at their camps. But the moment Cam Newton does something, like, they get real disrespectful. And it seems like he's the only one. I haven't seen any professional athlete put on a camp and get disrespected like that, the way that he does. But he said, look, there's trash talk that happens back and forth, but it should always stop there. The competitive nature of the game is going to cause you to, you know, trash talk, but it should stop there, right? But if I'm a younger kid, I'm not talking trash to somebody who, you know, I'm trying to get to the level that they were at, right? These guys in high school coming up, like, no. Where are the parents? They need some guidance, man. Because when people try to give back and when people try to do something positive, you know, you got situations like this where they're trying to be brought down. But I do think that Cam handled it the best way that he could have handled it in addressing it after the matter. And, you know, just looking forward to seeing, you know, how, you know, what's next. And, you know, he has really, really good podcast, man. Really good podcast. So, but yeah, if I was him, man, I would take a break from the camps, man. I'm not even going to lie to you, because that would really put a severe, a bad taste in my mouth. I'm like, you know what? I'm not about to keep spending my money, my hard earned money. And it's not everybody, but just, I would take a break from it for a while. I really would. And the next time, you know, if I was him, the next time I did a camp, I'm like, look, I need to totally revamp how things are done. And I would get a new security team too, because there's no way they should even got that close to Cam. Where was the security at? You know, that shouldn't even have gotten that far. But hey, it is what it is. But shout out to the way that Cam handled it. Next up, man, let's talk about college basketball, man. I just wanted to give a quick little preview of the top 25. I'm not gonna go through each. Well, I can run down the top 25 real quick. I just want to, you know, preview this, and because it's March and y'all know what time that is. March Madness around the corner in the next, what, 3 weeks, I should say. So excited about that, man. Can't wait. So we got Houston at 1, Purdue 2, UConn is 3, Tennessee 4, Marquette 5, Arizona 6, Kansas 7, Iowa State 8, UNC number 9, Duke at 10, Auburn 11, Creighton 12, Illinois 13, Alabama 14, Baylor 15, Kentucky 16, SMC is 17, South Carolina is 18, Washington State 19, San Diego State 20, Dayton 21, Utah State 22, Gonzaga 23, Florida 24, and USF is number 25. So, yeah, just looking at that, those are, like I said, the top 25. No real, you know, no surprises there at all. Looking at this, not really surprised by the way, you know, things have been going this year. It's actually a really interesting year to watch. The SEC has had some really good representation. That's the thing that jumps out to me in the top 25. So right now the SEC has what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams in the top 25 right now. So that's some pretty solid representation for the SEC. You know, y'all know I'm an SEC guy. So just excited to see, you know, conference tournaments and, you know, how things shake up before Selection Sunday and before we get into the tournament. But I did want to quickly touch on a big SEC matchup between Alabama and Tennessee on Saturday night as they are battling it out for the first place in the SEC. So I did want to talk about the keys to victory, because right now in the SEC conference, you got Tennessee who's sitting at atop the SEC. It was Alabama, but there was a right now Tennessee has the tiebreaker because earlier they knocked off Alabama at home in Knoxville, excuse me. And you got South Carolina's 3, and then behind South Carolina, you got Florida, then Kentucky. So right now, this is essentially to the winner of this game would very well pretty much win the SEC, right? That's you still got a couple of games after that. So that's just saying this is to take control of the SEC. So likely, like I said, the winner of this likely will win the SEC regular season crown. So, looking at Tennessee and Alabama, right? You got Tennessee, who's just coming off of a big win at home against Auburn, and then you got Alabama, who's coming off of a big solid win on the road against Ole Miss. So you're looking at two teams that look physical, can shoot the ball, can get out fast break and really do damage. I mean, these two teams right here are very, very, very solid, right? So you look at the way that they compare against one another, right? So Tennessee's averaging 80 points a game. Alabama's averaging 91. Alabama's giving up 79 points a game. Tennessee's 67. Field goal percentage wise, Tennessee at 45% from the field. Alabama at 48. They had the same amount of rebounds per game at 39. So just under 40 rebounds per game. And right now, I think that, another thing I wanted to bring up, the steals. So Tennessee has 8 steals a game. Alabama has 7.5. So these teams pretty much mirror each other, right? I think the biggest difference with Tennessee is the keys for them is their paint, the paint, right? They have a lot of size in the paint. And I think that, you know, with Alabama, who they have the height in the paint, but maybe not the paint as far as like big man goes, it's not their strong, that's not the one of the strongest areas of the team, I should say. So Alabama's going to have to find a way to contain that, right? Because in their first matchup, it was a lot more challenging on the road. And again, that was a little earlier in the season. I think they were, they were about 18 games in. But you saw the struggle, right? Dalton Kennett there, he's like one of the stars of the team. I mean, he's what he did against Auburn the other night was wild. But he did the first matchup against Alabama, he did put up 25 points. So got to find a way to contain him and not let him go off. And, you know, also you rebound the basketball. I think that honestly the biggest thing is rebounding, right? And what's crazy about it is Alabama actually out rebounded Tennessee in that game, 37-34. But the 22 turnovers to Tennessee's 7. That right there cannot happen. Eliminating the turnovers is something that has to be. That has to be a huge focal point ahead of this matchup on Saturday. Protect the basketball, making sure you're getting the best shot in these possessions. You know, rebounding. You know, those are going to be the keys to victory for Alabama. You know, to knock off Tennessee. And in Tennessee, I mean, they obviously. Their keys to victory to just continue to keep doing. And I think it really goes for both teams. Continue to do what you've been doing. I mean, I think that Alabama, this team is really hitting their stride, has hit their stride. You know, they had a tough game against Kentucky, but bouncing back and having a really solid win on the road against Ole Miss has been good. It was good for them heading into this game. I think that they play really good team basketball. They share the ball. Collectively, they shoot the ball really well. And when they get on the road, they can light it up from three. And I think that, you know, being led by Sears, Alabama's in a really good spot, right? So I do think that they just have to make sure that they're playing smart and not turning the ball over. And it's going to be interesting. You know, you got Mark Sears and Dalton Kennett. Like, these are both the leading scorers on these teams, right? And Sears shooting at 51%, Dalton Kennett shooting 48% from the field. Rebounding, we need Grant Nelson, Pringle, need those guys to step up because Jones Adu, he's the leading rebounder on Tennessee. So, you know, need Grant Nelson to really step up in this game and have a big game. And then, you know, again, play defense. You know, I think that Tennessee got a lot of easy buckets the first time around when Alabama was on the road playing against them. So I think that their defense needs to be tougher this game. And again, make smart decisions. Don't get into foul trouble early, and just play your game. And I think this team right now, this is a different basketball team, different Alabama team than it was that first time that these teams matched up. So I'm excited for the matchup, and I also think that I believe that Larry Reitzel Jr. is going to be back for Alabama. He's missed like the last, what, three games with the head injury, so definitely need him back. That would be huge for the team, but I love the way that this Alabama team plays, man. I think that they're set to make a run in the tournament, and I think it starts right here, right now, in this game against Tennessee. Show that you can knock off this opponent who's a legit contender. Tennessee is a legit contender. So got to show the world what they're made of against Tennessee, and I think that'll set Alabama up for success going forward. And the next matchup on the road against Florida, and then you finish off at home against Arkansas, and then it's on to the SEC tournament. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. But look, of course, I'm rolling with the Tide to get the victory in this game. I think it'll be a tight matchup. I think it'll be back and forth with the way that these teams, like I said, the way that they match up. And I think that defense will be better this time around for Alabama. I think they'll get rolling. And I think later in the game, Alabama will separate and get a close, tight win against Tennessee and get that upset. So. But yeah, that's all I have for y'all, man. I appreciate everybody giving me the time, as always. Continue to rock with me, man. Can't wait to dive deeper into the NFL draft as we get closer. Still, a couple of months away, about 8 weeks away from the NFL draft. So, man, can't wait to see what happens, man. And we got free agency, obviously, coming up. I didn't touch too much on that this time around, but... free agency begins the 13th. So look, saving that for that time, and excited to keep diving into it, man. Look, peace, blessings. Hope everybody have a great rest of the day. Enjoy your weekend, man, and we'll be back to do it all over again. Peace, blessings, and I'm out.